Well, the Morrison government is coming under fire for defying a Senate order to release the latest figures on Australia's greenhouse gas emissions. Labor and the Greens are alleging political interference by the coalition in a bid to bury the data. With no sign of any post-election deal on a carbon price, the Greens will today announce plans also to insert a climate trigger into environmental law. That would mean that the impact on the climate would have to be considered before large projects like the Adani coal mine, for instance, could be approved. Sarah Hanson-Young is the Greens' environment spokesperson. She joins us in our Adelaide studio. Senator Hanson-Young, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks for having me.
The Minister for Energy and Emissions Reduction, Angus Taylor, has missed a Senate-imposed deadline of last Friday to publish the emissions data for the December quarter. But can you cut the government some slack here? The election was only 2 weeks ago now. Is that reasonable?
Oh, look, I think they've had long enough. You know, they've known this was coming since September, October last year. They've had 5 months to gather the data, to get it together. And of course, the departmental officials confirmed at Senate estimates that it could all be done in time and it should have been done. This is more just hiding of the evidence from the Australian people. This government has a track record of keeping things secret, releasing things when they want, not when is required. And of course, this is off the back of having one of the worst environment ministers of all time, and that was Melissa Price.
So, yeah, but that's the point. There's a new emissions minister now. Angus Taylor takes emissions reduction into his portfolio, so he's only just been sworn in last week. I just wonder why you're suspicious. I mean, what do you think these figures will show?
Well, I think what they'll show what we've seen happen over the last few years under this government, and that is that pollution is rising, that the government's doing very little to cut pollution, to deal with the very dangerous escalation of global warming and climate change. And of course, Angus Taylor is a minister who is now meant to be responsible for emissions reduction, but has done anything but trying to reduce the impact on carbon creation, carbon pollution and climate change. I think this is more of hiding the facts from the people, and you know they're now in contempt of the parliament. If their argument is the minister needs some time to get his feet back under the desk, well, set a date, release it well before Parliament goes back, and be honest about the figures. They've been spinning for years now that they think they can reach our Paris commitments in a canter. Well, all of the data shows otherwise.
Well, let's look at some of the data, because emissions have risen, you're right, every year for the past 4 years since the carbon tax was repealed. But the last quarterly update, I think it showed that emissions had risen by 0.9% over the year. But for the past quarter, emissions in the electricity sector had fallen slightly, which allowed the government at the time, you'll remember, saying emissions were coming down. Do you expect that trend to keep happening?
While the government is doing very little to put in place a plan to deal with climate change, it's going to be very hard to see emissions come down and pollution being cut. And this is the big problem here. Australians right across the country, whether you live in the cities, whether you live in the suburbs, whether you live out in rural and regional Australia, know that the impacts of climate change are coming and they're coming hard. Those relying on the jobs in the Great Barrier Reef, those relying on the agricultural jobs in our nation's food bowl in the Murray-Darling Basin, or indeed those of us here who live in South Australia and had to live through the heat waves over summer, we all know climate change is happening. It's getting worse year by year, and this government does not have a plan.
Why, given the uptake of renewables, why aren't our emissions falling?
Well,
I mean, when do we expect emissions to decline, not increase, given that change? Because the increase in renewables into our grid is been quite astronomical of late.
Well, Fran, of course, we know that when there was a proper climate policy in place that integrated climate and energy, and of course, a more serious environment policy under the previous Gillard government, world-class climate change policies, emissions actually started reducing. And we were starting to get Australia on track to dealing with what is a huge international crisis. We are in a climate emergency, and we can't be expected to reduce carbon pollution if we're opening up new coal mines and coal basins in Queensland. We can't be expected to reduce carbon pollution if we're giving the wrong signals to the industry. We can't be expected to be reducing carbon pollution if we're opening up new oil wells in the Great Australian Bight. And this is the point. If you accept the science of climate change, you've got to have a plan in place, which is why we need to have something like what the Greens are suggesting today, which is a proper rule, laws in our federal environment regulation that says if you're going to open up new developments, big major developments, they need to be assessed on their carbon impact as well.
Let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about this, because this is a private senator's bill I think you're drafting. To the ultimate goal would be to amend Commonwealth environment laws to insert something called a climate trigger. How would that work? What would it look like?
Well, it would work similar to what we've managed to be able to do in relation to bringing in a water trigger in our federal environment laws. I think people would be very surprised, Fran, to know that we've got these federal environment laws, but they're so out of date and not fit for purpose that at the moment they don't even consider the impact of carbon pollution. They don't.
So how would they work? Can you give us an example of how that might work?
What it would require is if there is a major development that had a high emissions output, such as a new coal mine in the Galilee Basin, or indeed oil drilling in the Great Australian Bight, that part of that environmental assessment would have to include the impact of the type of pollution that would be created and the impact on climate change. And not just here domestically, it would need to consider what happens if these resources are exported overseas, because we know that a big part of what Australia is facing is a global problem. The pollution in the atmosphere doesn't stop at Australia's borders. If we export this stuff overseas, it's going to make climate change worse.
Okay, so if we looked at that idea, the responsible minister, as I understand it, would be obliged to refuse projects that have, quote, unacceptable impacts on the climate or biosphere. Is an unacceptable impact carbon emissions? And would that mean, for instance, that something like the Adani coal mine or any coal mine that was for exporting coal or would be creating emissions in the development of the project itself would not be passed? Would that rule out any new coal mines, in your view?
Well, it should, because we can't deal with the escalation of climate change if we don't stop making things worse. And while we've got environment laws that look at the sensitivities of a project on that physical environment or on the species that live in that habitat, we also need to consider the very real impact of climate change and the carbon pollution that a project is going to create. So we've got two things here. One, our environment laws are out of date and they're not fit for modern Australia or the modern world. The environment laws haven't kept up with environmental reality. Climate change is at the centre of our threats to the environment today, and yet our environment laws don't even look at that. But also, in the absence of any ability in the near future for something like a carbon price, and we see the Labor Party crab walking away from that. We've seen seemingly very little commitment from the coalition.
Let's just go to what the Labor Party is suggesting.
We need something that reduces greenhouse implications from new developments.
Okay.
You can't make things better while you're continuing to open up those fossil fuel projects that continue to make things worse.
Just very briefly, we're almost out of time, but Labor, Tony Burke, who was Labor's shadow environment spokesperson, has suggested that that given the carbon price, you know, hasn't been supported by the voters, he's talking about some kind of direct action approach, direct government investment in new technologies, regulation. Just briefly, could a climate trigger be part of that direct government intervention model?
I think a climate trigger and making sure projects are assessed on their environmental impact on climate change has to be part of any way forward. If we don't do that, we will see a government, a federal government, the community absolutely locked out of ensuring that we improve things for the future and not make them worse. Right. I take this point that there's been a lot of debate about the issue of climate change since the election. Let me tell you, Fran, that here in South Australia and indeed around the rest of the country, voters from all sides understand the impact of climate change. They want our governments and our politicians to deal with it, and they want real things put in place. None of this argy-bargy, hiding facts and simply kowtowing to the coal industry.
Senator Hanson-Young, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.